Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty, mighty Jesus. Amen. Who is about to come? Hallelujah. Who is about to raise his bride home? My brother, my sisters. Hallelujah. Our glorious hope is to be in rapture departure from this earth. And we know that the Lord is faithful. And he always been faithful. Faithful is him that sit upon the throne. And he has been the one who have made the promise to come for us and take us home, that where he is, we will also be. Shalom, Sister Regina, Brother Estrada Rivero. Shalom to each and one of you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful for the Lord and his mercy. Praise you, God. We're doing something different because we know what God has been speaking to us, revealing to me in regard to the last day judgment and how this nation from this year, 2022 to 2023, there's going to be major change. I've been speaking about this since 2019, 2020, 2021, and now 2022. The changes that are coming upon this nation, the Lord and the Father has been revealing me these things. And so I had no, I don't want to be disobedient to God. I want to keep reminding people of what is coming. It's biblical. It's in his word. And we must be ready because the Lord talked to us about being ready to begin to put away emergency food supply and even saving cash is one of the things we talked about here, my brother, my sister. So being ready for what is coming is a measure of importance, my brother and sister. And tonight, Lord, cover me, cover my throat, Lord Jesus, with your blood and your holy fire, for a hedge of protection and a wall of fire. In Jesus' name, Lord, break the power of the evil one, Lord Jesus. Mighty Lord, mighty God, thank you, Lord. We are in Revelation 14, and of course, we're going to be sharing everything. My brother and sister, Bible study, Tuesday night, everything goes in regard to whatever the Lord has to say in the same process, dream, revelation. I mean, he given me a dream last night and the night before. I don't know if last night dream is for tonight, my brother and sister, but I know that the night before, yes, because I saw myself walking here on the earth in power outages. It was a confirmation of what we've been talking about, the power outages that are coming. I saw myself, the Lord took me into the months to come, and I was walking here in the United States, and as I was walking in the city, the city were in darkness. It was in the daytime I was walking, but the city, the building, the homes were in darkness, no power at all. So whoever was inside those homes, I could see they had no power. So, and then a major city where you cannot even burn wood and things like that you would need. I was thinking, wow. You know, if I'm living in one of those cities, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, California, Chicago, major city where you don't hardly have no backyard, because a lot of these houses are so close to the road right there, sidewalk, and that's it, okay? And I'm sure people will get creative. I love the people. I love what people are writing to me in regard to having a wood stove. In major city, you cannot have wood stove. They have no chimney. And the chimney they have has been enclosed. So, shalom, Brother Joseph. So, okay, my brother and sister, we know what is coming. We know the urgency of what is coming. And so we're going to continue to sounds the trumpet. Raise a voice and let people know, because my ministry is over. And so basically what God is having me do is just raise my voice, let them know what is coming. These judgments are right next to us, so close now, that it's now like, it's not like you're going to have to wait a year to see them. You can already turn on the news and hear what they're talking about in regard to our economy. Now with the rail strike that is coming next month, they're already saying there's not going to be any Christmas next month, December. There's a rail strike coming. This has all been done on purpose. And a lot of people have not realized this. But it's going to take time for people to walk into what is coming, my brothers and sisters. It's going to take time for people to come to the realization that we're living in a different time, my brothers and sisters. A lot of people will say, don't be preaching fear. Actually, it's not preaching fear. It's what they call preaching information, preaching preparation, because you don't want these things to come and to call you unprepared, unaware, unprepared. Usually that's what a lot of people are going to find themselves. And you know what the sad part about all this is? People will get mad at God, and they'll blame God, and they'll tell God that they will not set a foot in church anymore. They'll never read his Bible anymore. They will never repent anymore. They get really, really mad at God. And God has raised people like me to warn people of what is coming before they get really mad at God, as they say. Revelation 14. I got Brother Ben with me tonight. I'm going to let him say hi and amen.
Yes, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Ben. I thank Brother Elvie for an invitation to be here with him. And shalom to everybody, to each and every one of you. Thank you, Brother Elvie.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And, you know, Brother Ben has some verses to share. Shalom, Sister Luna, and we wanna go ahead and bring as much as we can in this couple hours before we play some audio, which confirm what we're talking about tonight. So I believe the Bible verses are, you know, Revelation 14. I'm going down waiting like wow. I'm gonna go to verse 7 before we go further, but Revelation 14:1, and I look and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him 142,000 having his father's name written on the forehead. Now, the Lord coming down with his army is what he showed me the other day. My brothers and sisters, that's a large army, 140,000. Okay? It's not that he needs all them. We can read in the Bible, like in the time of Gideon. He didn't need it more than 200. Okay, God doesn't need much to overcome everyone. But I believe, I think we are just witnesses, as the Bible says. As Jesus said to his disciples, ye are my witnesses. So it's not necessarily that we are called to fight, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. He's the one taking vengeance. And we are like witnesses to this. Oh, glory be to the Lord. My brother and sister. And John said, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunders. And I heard a voice of harps, harping with their harps. And they sang as it was a new song before the throne, before the four living beings and the elder. No man can learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Brother Alvin, where did these 144,000 come? They are redeemed from the earth. These are men and women that God saved through Christ, chosen, elected by God, selected for this. And there he is, 144,000, my brother and sister. And the Lord is coming down with them. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgin. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among the men, being the first fruit unto God and unto the Lamb. Notice that God can redeem or save unto himself people that are very faithful to him. And it's not that we are faithful. It's that he is faithful. And that in our witness, he is strong. You see the difference? God doesn't base his calling on our life that we are strong. God based a calling on our life that he is strong in us. And he can keep us without fall. He can keep us without falling. He can keep us without sinning. My brother insisted. He can. But we cannot keep ourselves without sinning. And the moment we try, because we have tried to keep ourselves without sin, and we've fallen our face to the ground. My brother insisted. We find ourselves deep in sin. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Because it's not possible without his help. That's why he told his disciples, without me, there is nothing ye can do. You know how many years it took me to understand that? Until finally I had the Lord beside me. I said, Lord, I finally understand, Lord, that without you, there's nothing I can do. And the Lord said, I ain't glad. I ain't glad, my son. I'm like, Lord, you know? He's happy that now I understand that without him, there's nothing I can do. You know, people that struggle too much with sin is because they have not learned to depend on Jesus. And it took me years to understand that. That all you have to do is get your face like, what did Moses and Aaron did when people murmur and complain? They went with their face on the ground, praying for mercy before God. And a lot of time, like Daniel, he would pray for mercy for himself and yes, for the people. But when you recognize you are a sinner before a holy God, what do? You know you cannot justify yourself because he's holy and we're not. And so we got to seek that mercy from him to help us to overcome the flesh, the world. And Jesus overcame the flesh and the world on the cross. So I love it because I take one of my sons to practice. And next to the school I take them to practice, there are three crosses. There's a brother, a family that have three crosses lit it up with a light. And I'm taking him. And how do I know to get to the place? Because it's dark. The light is pointed to the three crosses. And I ask my son, do you see the crosses? Every time I look to those crosses, it touches my heart. It just touches my heart. And I was telling my sons, you see, looking at those crosses, you don't even need to preach to people. Those crosses are preaching to the people. Because it's what Jesus did on the cross that matters for us, that is important. You want to know how you can overcome the enemy by the testimony and the blood? Claim what Jesus did on the cross. Claim it over the enemy. When he's attacking you, claim what Jesus did on the cross. He overcame the enemy on the cross. He doesn't like that. That's why he's removing the cross from across the country and from the all important places, even the churches. Because the cross represents power and authority over him, victory over him. And that's something he doesn't want people to remember, because if they do, he's gone. Jesus overcame him on the cross, my brother and sister. And as long as you can look to the cross for claiming the victory over the enemy, they leave. Because that's what they will put the shame openly, the Bible says. Put the shame openly. At the cross, he defeated death, my brother and sister. Death could not stop him or hold him down. He overcame it. He put death to shame. Since the garden, death has been reigning until Jesus overcame death. And put death, the devil, demon, or principality to shame at the cross. My brother and sister, many Christians don't know this, but it's in your Bible if you read it. And you read the writing of the Apostle Paul. What do you say, Brother Ben?
Yes, that's true. We do have power and authority and that's explained in Luke 10:19. And I'm trying to look up the verse right now.
Thank you, Lord. Got it. And their mouth was found no guilt, no sin. For they are without fault, without sin. No guilt, nothing can the devil point to before the throne of God. Imagine that. God says there's no guilt in them. There's no sin. There's no fault. These men that have repented under the blood of Jesus, under the blood of Jesus, you and I are without sin, without guilt. I remember the devil, when I had repented, the Lord wanted me to see this, so I learned. Because he's my rabbi, my teacher. He teaches me. He takes me in the spirit when the devil comes in the cloud to accuse us. Revelation 12, he's accusing of the brethren. He accuses them day and night. So the Lord takes me, I'm there with the Lord and the angel. And the devil comes, he was accusing me. Oh, look what your servant did and all that. The Lord had already forgiven me. His blood had already cleanses me. And he stole the devil. He already repent. He already been cleansed. He been forgiven and cleansed. What are you talking about? Immediately that accusation was over. It was over. And the devil was right there standing there. The one that has fallen for. Trying to accuse someone who had repented, who the blood of the Lord has cleansed and the Lord has forgiven. Because when you repent, the Lord forgives you right away and the blood cleanses you from all. Remember that word when you repent. Remember that word, because a lot of people, we talked about all one time. I did a Bible study about all, and it was so powerful, I still remember. Many years ago, I'm telling you, it was about in 2008. Okay? 12 years now? 2008, I did a Bible study. God put that in me. All of a sudden, I went to the Bible, and I'm reading the Bible, and I keep finding all. All. And for some reason, I could not pass from the word all in the Bible. And I asked one question. What does the word all means? My brothers and sisters, in regard to sin, in regard to God forgiving us, what does the word all means? Okay? Go ahead, Brother Ben. Read with you.
Okay, going back to our given authority, I'm reading out of the Geneva Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and it says, "Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you."
You just use the word all.
Yes. That's all power of the enemy. So the enemy, who is our enemy? Our enemy is Satan, the devil, of course, and all his demons.
All his power, you say?
Yes, all.
Hallelujah.
All inclusive.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. When you read, hallelujah, the word of God, and understand, God opened that understanding in you to understand what he means when he says, hallelujah, hallelujah. First of all, we all have sin, Romans 5:12. Therefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and the death by sin. No death passes. So death passes unto all men, for all have sinned. Wait a minute, all. What does all mean? What does all means to you? People in the shower, people at home, what does the word all means to you? Because you got to come, that word needs to come into your heart, into your life. And you have to receive that word all. And I have to receive that word all. Because the devil will tell you it's not all, but God says all. You're going to have to believe God in your heart. in your life. And when you repent all your sin, all your sins are forgiven. Not 25%, not 10%, not 90%. The devil may tell you that you still have sin. I'm forgiven in you. But you told God, God, I repent all my sin. And God forgives you all your sin. Okay? You might be struggling with the word all. But when God says all, he means all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise your God. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for that verse. I'll get there in a minute. Hallelujah. Because we have so many words all in the Bible, including all wisdom. And it's just, hallelujah. God means what he says when he says all. My brother and sister. And we have to receive it. Hallelujah. We have to receive that he forgives all our sins. He forgives all our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Here's 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. My brother insisted, all means all. You cannot exclude anything and all. You cannot leave anything behind and all. Okay? All means all. And when you tell God all, and you say, God, go deep into my life, I repent all my sins, all my trespasses, all my lies, all my iniquities, past, present, and future. God, I'm so sorry. Please help me to be righteous, holy, pure for you every day. And God forgives you. He'll let you know in your heart you've been forgiven. He'll confirm to your spirit. And that's what Paul says to the Roman, the confirmation to your spirit that we are the Son of God. And if you have not gotten the confirmation, you got to pray for it. You got to ask the Lord. I asked the Lord last night to confirm to me, okay, because I was in prayer with him, and I was praying, and I was repenting, and I was asking for the confirmation, because he usually does give me the confirmation. I remember talking years ago with Brother Larry about this. Getting the confirmation from the Lord when you repent, when you ask him for something, he'll speak to your spirit, he'll speak to my life, he'll let me know. He'll give me the confirmation. Sometimes when I pray for my brothers and sisters, they'll email me, Brother Elvie, pray, and I'll ask, and I go to the Lord, and since I have a prayer list, I pray about the prayer list, and when I pray, the Lord tells me, he confirmed to my spirit that he's done. He heard it. He tells me he heard whom I'm praying for. Let it be economically, whatever it is, healing. He tells me when I tell him about this person and what the person have been asking. Most of the time, I don't remember the petition, but since I added to the prayer list the person, whatever the petition is goes for that person, whatever the need. Okay, because he answered according to our need and according to his riches and glory, the Bible said. Whatever your need is, if I'm praying for you and you're praying for me, if you pray for that person's need, God knows what that need is. And you ask the Lord to answer that person, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the confirmation, hallelujah, is important. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bear witness. Here's a confirmation. There is a witness in our spirit from the Spirit of God of what we're asking God for. But here's how powerful it is. For the Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then he keeps explaining, but this witness, when I'm in prayer, I ask for this witness. Not just that I'm the son of my God. I ask for the witness that what I'm asking the Lord for someone, an example, he tells me, it's done. It's done. He bear witness to my spirit. I'm connected with him. I'm one with him in spirit. So then I can ask and say, I'm praying for so-and-so, and can you please answer this person? And he gave me the witness. He let me know. Yes, my brother and sister. And the Bible says, then said the Apostle James, that if he answer us when we ask, whatever we ask, we believe we receive from him. It's done. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to question it. Once he says it's done, it's done. Done. And sometimes it can take days and months. And sometimes it's right away. We have people that we pray for, even financial situation, and it's done immediately. Other people take longer. I believe that God prepares our heart and life to receive what we need. Because he's done it with me, with my own life. And I usually God uses your own example, what he teaches you, to yourself. He does it with everybody else because he's the same God to all of us, right? We're serving the same God. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, the Bible says. So what he does with us is, as he did with all the disciples, he prepares us every day to receive what he wants to give to us. And what we're asking him to give us, he prepares our lives first to be ready to receive it. Because a lot of times we're not ready to receive it. My brother and sister, my pastor used to use a great example. If you pray to God to give you a car, God may give you a Corolla, give you an example, a Camry. God may give you a car where you can go to point A to point B from work to home. Because there was a young man praying for a racing car. And the pastor's heard him praying one time. Everybody are on the altar praying, right? And he was praying aloud. He said, God, I'm praying for this car. And he would tell God the car he wanted. It was a racing car, right? And praying. And the pastor says, why are you praying for a racing car when you are just ready to get your license? You don't even know how to drive yet. And you're asking for a car where you can even kill yourself. God doesn't work that way. You ask God, first you pray for your permit, your license, you learn how to drive, and then you ask God for a car from point A to point B, and God will give it to you. I asked and God gave it to me. God helped me to get my license and everything, and then he provided me with the car. Everything went boom, boom, boom. I pray, asking, get you just, and I seen people the same way. But some people are delayed because somehow people pray for things that they should not be praying for. And it's hard to convince someone who doesn't have a pilot license who's praying for a jet from God. And believe it or not, I had someone say this to me. A sister said this to me one time. She was praying for a jet. And you know, you never want to tell people, oh, don't pray for that, because, no, you don't want to be negative, and you don't want to put them down. Or you, okay, people can pray for whatever they want, but I tell people, read Proverbs, because all the wisdom we need are there, okay? When you read Proverbs, all the wisdom of God are in the book of Proverbs. How many times do you want to read the book of Proverbs? Read it. And if you didn't get what your spirit need, read it again. And then pray to read it again. But always when you read Proverbs, pray before you read it. And ask God to give you the wisdom that you will need, that you need. and find out that he will begin to open a book of Proverbs and show you things that you'll be blown away by the wisdom and knowledge there. Amen? Because we all need wisdom. None of us can say I have enough. No, we need more and more and more. And you'll find out when you go to heaven in the rapture that knowledge with God is endless. You can spend billions and billions a year learning of God, and you just started. Okay, so go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I want to touch a little bit on with Luke 10:19 that's given us the power and authority.
Thank you.
And that's basically used for spiritual warfare, which is very important these days. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And it's out of the Geneva Bible. Verse 19, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So that's the key there. He's given us the keys of heaven.
Amen.
And that's what we could go ahead and do in our prayer, is to understand the verses that's given us the power and authority and the keys. And the key is whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And that's very critical because, you know, in going back to the website, thelordshour.org, there's been prayers there for, you know, Psalms 91 and putting on the full whole armor of God, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. And it's very critical that we must put on our armor each and every day. So if you refer to the prayer page in the lordshour.org, there's prayers there from Psalms 91, 121, putting on the whole armor of God. And recently, Brother Elvia just posted the Spanish translation of who we are in Christ, our identity.
Under the Tony name, yeah.
Yes, under Tony.
Brother Tony.
Brother Tony from Washington, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I refer for our Spanish speaking brothers and sisters, yeah, to refer to that prayer and try to understand who we are in Christ. Once we know who we are in Christ and knowing that we got the power of authority and that we got the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that we can use these here to go ahead and, you know, activate the Spirit of God in us to battle in the Spirit, because everything's in the Spirit now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's on verse 10, on chapter 6 in Ephesians. So there is a prayer there that covers that.
The authority in Christ.
Yes, authority in Christ.
Amen. Powerful. Very powerful, Brother Ben. Plenty of information for people to go here. Let me put the link in the chat room again and follow the teaching. Shalom, Sister Renee. But it's a lot of information there. And as long as Brother Ben provide more, we'll keep posting it there on the page, because it's just such a blessing to be able to have that information. And again, you are welcome to download it to your computer. You are welcome to print it.
Yes.
They can print it. You can, we haven't done this, but it's a good idea to put it on a PDF, download it. If someone can do that and want to send it to my email, Sapa99, put it on a PDF, send it to my email. I'm going to put it in the chat room. And we can go ahead and provide that to people, my brother and sister, and you know, just help out one another. Another, someone also suggested for the emergency coming up, wooden stove. I don't think we, if we talk about wooden stove, to someone emailed me and said a wooden stove, it will be a good. I saw online on Amazon, they're selling wooden stove. I even saw one for $139, I think it was, that it might be something for people to consider. And I know these emergencies are coming so close now, but whatever you can get your hand on, try to.
Yes. We got a lot of resources on the internet. So even on YouTube, for example, if you want to look up of how to stay warm, you know, they'll give a lot of examples on, you know, creating heat, you know, with different devices, you know, whether it be run on fuel or generator or kerosene. But we got to be very careful now and use caution when we use kind of liquefied or gasoline or diesel or the kerosene that runs the heater. You know, careful as far as taking caution on storing it properly and using the right container, and to not put it in your house. Okay.
Very important.
Yeah, very important. And
safety.
Not, yeah, it's for safety reasons, and you know, making sure that you do have some means of putting, let's say, for example, if there was a candle that caught on fire on the table or whatever, is to please have a fire extinguisher at hand. They sell them in Amazon. They're fairly cheap. They can sell them a bundle of four. I don't know what the price is, but you can compare the prices, you know, doing that research on the internet, on YouTube. And also, they have a lot of preppers that give out information. A lot of preppers on YouTube, you know, and they give out certain information on how to keep warm, using caution and using the different devices or equipment to keep you warm. And that'll be, you know, a way to, you know, kind of like knowing which route that you want to go or which decision you want to go, whether you go with a kerosene heater or a gas stove with wood in your home. I know most of us are not, you know, that live in the city, that's kind of impossible to do, is have, you know, chopped wood readily available for the wood stove in our homes. But whatever means you use is what, you know, what the Holy Spirit leads you to have.
Burning your couch inside is not safe.
Yes. I think Brother Ellie had a brother mention about burning all his furniture in the house to keep warm. No, that's a wrong answer. You know, you might burn yourself down, and not only that, but probably, you know, do a lot of harm to your family, and you don't really want to go there, you know. Mm-hmm. So always be careful with fire, you know, and have some kind of available means to, if you do have a small fire that's in your house, is to have a fire extinguisher ready, you know.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm. That's important. So in regard to what is coming, I mean, we don't hope for the worst, but there was an old saying that said, prepare for the worst.
Yes.
Prepare for the worst. Because if you prepare for the worst, no matter how bad it is, you'll be able to make it through with your family. And not, you know, because it's a lot of people going to see what is coming. And I mean, I have shared so much from the Lord in regard to what is coming. And the confirmations from other prophets are out there of what is coming. We hope that, you know, that someone will come up with a solution after tomorrow. and say, look, you know, no, people are not going to suffer or this and that because we have all this diesel coming up and all that. But it's not intended for them to have a solution. They're not intending to having a solution. They could if they want it, but with this depopulation agenda they have in mind, the elite are planning to remove many from the city. It's always been their plan. Yes, God is in control. We know that. But God told us, even the children of Israel has many lost under disobedience. And God has said, how much this nation will become under disobedience, my brother, my sister. And that's what is the dangerous. Now, the disobedience. It's not so much that the country will go in darkness, running out of fuel, heating, and all that. It's the much disobedience that there is in the country that God's been talking about. That unless people turn to God, turn to his mercy, for him to have mercy on this nation, because God's mercy, as the Bible says, endureth forever. Okay? He can have mercy on this nation. And there are people praying. But this nation has turned against God for too long. Even though God calling them to repentance. My brother, my sister. And there's consequence for sin. We know this. We can read it in the Bible. We saw how many of the Israelites die in many times in different occasions, in different books, or different prophets. Why? There's so many had to die because when they went into disobedience, and they went into sin, disobedience, when God was calling them back to the prophet to turn back to him, they did not listen. Then God allowed the enemy to come in and steal everything that they had. And that's basically what's happening in America now. The enemy starts stealing what they have. I hear that China is stealing through Biden's much of this country's wealth now. Which is, to me, it was like, I'm listening to this online, I'm like, wow, from people that are in high office, from people that have more knowledge than I have in regard to being close to the government. And my brother and sister, they're saying that China is stealing most of the riches of the country to Biden. They put Biden in office. They were the one who changed the machine, who upgraded the software on the voting machine. It was their doing. Of course, Obama is behind all of it anyway. But the fact of the matter is, it's not the country that a lot of people think it is. And the outcome is already seen. They don't have a solution. Kamala Harris was in the Middle East yesterday. She didn't talk about how they're going to help their own country. They're letting everything fall. You know, the rail strike that is coming next month. He said last month that he took care of this. I'm back on September 15th. And already November 22nd and nothing. They don't have a solution for the problem. So everything like domino effect is coming down on them, on this country, on the world, because this is going to affect the whole world. People that are in other countries listening to us, they're already saying, someone was saying to me how they're going to suffer in Europe already, how it's already being felt in Europe more than in the United States. You know, the NATO countries are suffering right now. And they have people rallying up, walking up and down, hundreds of thousands of them, trying to get the elected official to change their mind on supporting NATO and getting out of NATO, and they're not listening either. So all was in vain. But everything is changing quickly. Now, when you go to Revelation 14, my brother and sister, praise the Lord, verse 7 is where I got to. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. My brother insisted. We're rejoicing because God fight for us, but it tells you clearly that the hour of his judgment is come. And this is the hour of his judgment, the title of this message. Verse 9. And there follow another angel saying, Babylon, which is the system we're in, the Babylonian system, is fallen. Fallen is a great city because she had made all nations drink of her wine and of the wrath and of her fornication. My brother and sister, people have seen the, the women on the scarlet dragon that represents Babylon, how she's drinking of the cup of her fornication. So now the Pope and a bunch of other leaders were meeting in Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments this past week, and they created their own Ten Commandments, my brother and sister. And there's a brother who followed that. I listened to what he had to say. He was talking about they proclaimed there the one world religion. And it was not the Catholic religion. Okay? Islam, some people say Christland, but Islam is the one world religion that God revealed to his brother so many years ago, and I share in the Lord's Tower. And they proclaim it, all these leaders of the world, with the Pope. And they all sign document and agreement to that one world religion in the Middle East, in Rome, Europe, and United States, because they have representatives from everywhere. They all sign document. How can leaders from here, leaders from Europe, Rome and all these countries, go in there with the Pope and sign document of one world religion? What do you think that means? This is what we are, my brothers and sisters. The Lord, the Father, told me the same. It's over. It's over, my brothers and sisters. It is over. There's no further to go. And the fact of the matter is, as Father said, people are going to see with their own eyes. If they don't believe what they see on the media coming out from Mount Sinai and Israel, between Israel and Egypt, I believe it is, now the judgment, as God said to his servant the other day, a few months ago, when the war in Ukraine Russia was getting ready to invade Ukraine, the Lord spoke to her and says, "My daughter, the war in Ukraine is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end, my daughter," the Lord says to her. And she put it on YouTube online. This is when Russia was only getting ready to go to attack Ukraine. No missile has been launched. Not a bullet has been launched. Nothing. Ukraine was still peaceful. Everything was peaceful in Russia. And the Lord says to her that President Putin was going to go to Ukraine and begin to bomb there, and that this will be the beginning of the end. That Russia was not going to hold back at all, my brother and sister, and that they will start bombing Ukraine. My brother and sister, and this bombing of Ukraine was only the beginning before they come to the United States and NATO. The prophecy that Russia is going to destroy NATO countries, and the United States, because Russia is not doing this alone. China is backing them up. India, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea. There is a list of countries, at least 30 countries they have already about. Okay, they have their own army who are willing to join them in support of destroying this nation, the NATO nations, alliance nations, my brothers and sisters. And whoever decides to support these nations that they're going against, my brothers and sisters. So right now, Ukraine is I can't remember what the word that the Lord gave on her, was only like a child play compared to what they're planning to do. But they wanted to show the other nation where they are in capability, that they have no limitation in regard to, like Putin says, he can destroy this earth five times over and more, the entire earth five times more, the capability of weapon that they have. So people in high office have said that Russia had not used barely nothing of what they have in their arsenal. They're using all weapons from the 50, 60, not even 70, to keep Ukraine at bay until they go ahead and go for the big fish. They want the big fish, and they know who they are, and they're going to go get them. But God, since God is in control, God says when. God already has given this country to them. God has said to his prophet, "I have given this country to them, and NATO also, and they're going to take them." But it's in God's timing, because he's in control. But before he does, he's going to get his church out of here. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. We were listening to our sister earlier of what the Lord says to her in regard to the rapture and she's seen things are coming for the Great Tribulation. She's seen the economy falling and people who she said that when Brother Ben and I were talking about this a few days ago, amazing how God can confirm it in such a way. Because Brother Ben said something to me that I wasn't thinking about this. He was telling me that when the Great Tribulation comes, when all this mess comes and, Biden is about to bring the digital dollar, which require fully vaccination and RFID in the right hand. Those are the requirements put on paper by the Biden administration. It's put on paper. And the banks are going to receive those orders from Biden, executive orders, that the people that will have money in the bank, when their system goes fully in action?
Yes, fully active.
Fully active. Fully vaccination and RFID in the right hand required by Biden-Obama system. My brother and sister, and the system right now, as we're speaking right now, started from the 15th of this month, 12 days from the 15th of this month, is being tested for 12 days. And the bank will get feedback to Biden, to the administration, let them know how when he guarantees, after they've been tested and tested, that everyone can go into the new system already. All the banks can go into the new system. No one is going to be lived out of the new system because that's the way it's going to be. Now, I heard someone saying, which we don't have the full information, but it will come forward in a few days. We know Chicago on January 1st of 2023, it's going to have the digital dollar for all the citizens in the state of Chicago. But there are other states that during this midterm election included that in the ballot. This guy from Fox was saying, we don't know all these other states because it has not been put clear. But in January, people are going to find out what other state, if California, New York, and all these other states are going to be doing the same. I know that Texas and there's another state that said that they're going to try to block this from being approved in their state. If Texas and them are already trying to fight this, as they're saying online, that means that they know that Biden is coming very strong with this because Texas is getting ready to fight this. They don't want this digital dollar to be approved in Texas right away. They're going to try to block it, and so that really tells me that what Biden is coming over is really strong. I hope it doesn't get approved in North Carolina. But what Brother Ben said, what was it that you told me about?
Yeah, referring to the digital dollar, supposedly it's Executive Order 14067, and it's supposed to be enacted December 14th of this year.
Amen.
Yeah, so, we'll be looking if that would really take effect by the end of December or probably first part.
And the other thing I was changing, you were telling me, remember changing?
Yes.
That not to focus that the digital dollar is going to go into action because you can also, if you have valuable, you remember you were telling me?
Right. There's probably another system that we're going to probably develop amongst our communities and all that. And that's the bartering system, where you barter a service for service, and if the paper currency and the coin currency is going to be deleted then people can go ahead within their communities, their cities, where you live, barter certain valuables, let's say like your valuable in your rings and all that for possibly something you need from another person who's willing to go ahead and exchange it with whatever valuable you have.
Amen.
So keep that in mind.
So if you have valuable, you're saying, and they have food,
right?
You can offer to exchange.
Yes, to exchange, a service to service or exchange valuable things for food or whatever you need. It might be an equipment you need, you know, a chainsaw or a wood stove or whatever that you know, the other person or the other community has that you can exchange. Or let's say if you have a trade, a service that you can do, like carpentry or plumbing, that, you know, you can go ahead and if you have water issues and all that, that you can probably have something he needs or she needs that you can exchange one for one, you know, his service for whatever you have, but that you can both agree upon. So, yeah.
Because they have approved, I don't know how many of you have seen this from Apple, even Google, Samsung, where the digital, you can use your phone as your Discovery launched this, American Express and many other banks are doing it now, where the digital credit card is on your phone. And all you have to do is scan it and pay. Well, you got millions of people going with that system. The digital dollar will be similar. If you have $30 in your bank account, for example, that digital dollar will be on your phone, and you'll be able to pay. The only thing that we see that it totally against the word of God, Revelation 13:16, he makes all rich and poor, big and small, rich and bond, slave and bond, to have a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. He makes them. He obligates them. It's a system of the beast, Babylonian. That's kind of the system that Biden is bringing next year, where you're going to have to be fully vaccinated and have the RFID in your right hand. When I heard of both of these things that he wants to bring in, and now he's putting executive order behind it, billions of dollars behind it, they're saying all the money is going to go to that system. It's all going to be transferred. Banks are going to be going to that system. And that, where does that leave people, you know? The Lord, they spoke to us about a window of opportunity before the rapture, because the Lord knows that we're going to need a community, a buildings. And so the Lord is going to open that window for us. And remember, the Lord is in control of time. God is in control of time. He can forward, backward, pause time, stop time. So in this window of opportunity, I also see the judgment. Because, okay, he wants to put the system next year. But there's an earthquake coming in California and an eastern tsunami. I don't believe this because I asked the people. Without California and without the eastern state, our economy will be nowhere, sincerely speaking. I believe for them to bring the system, which a lot of people also, if once you get the earthquake in California and the eastern tsunami, the country's bankrupt. Because without New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, all the way down to Florida, no Orlando, no Massachusetts, no Connecticut. All that, my brother and sister, immediately tells you that without those states, the United States has no economy. There's no way. Because the Lord has taken me several times into those months. And I've been walking to the months. I've been walking in those months from North Carolina all the way to New Jersey, going through all the state. And here's the thing. Because of the earthquake, highways are damaged. I think even people are falling into crack in the ground in their vehicle because they think they can just drive. They don't want to stop for stranger or anything. And they fall and they end up getting hurt. And we end up stopping and helping people and getting them out of the car. They're injured, they're bloody, they're bleeding, they're hurt. And even people with broken legs that we have to say, well, we don't have a way to carry you or anything. You're going to have to stay here until some kind of help comes. You know, we try to help people with water, even with food if we can, in those days to come. But we know right now that there's not much we can do. Because if we cannot bring our vehicle to a certain place to help people, Brother Ben and I cannot put all those people on our back and carry them here. So we know that we are limited in regard to helping people. But in our heart is to help people, whatever the Lord wants us to do, we're willing to do. My brother and sister, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. And the Lord said these things were coming. They are coming. What the Lord showed me in heaven the other morning was the revival, the last harvest of the soul. He didn't talk to me about judgment or anything. It was all the last harvest. It's the last thing he has for me to do, for us to do, the last harvest. Yes, we got to endure through these blackout and no fuel and all that. We're going to have to endure because he has a plan. Now, he did talk to me a few weeks ago, about the 3 days of darkness that are close. He told me that they're close. And that's something that I keep getting more witness. Even my wife had a dream about 3 days of darkness. And more other people are seeing this dream of darkness that they can't explain it. Why are we in dark for 3 days? You know? I don't know. Someone asked me about the wooden stuff during the 3 days of darkness. It's a great idea, but here's the thing during the 3 days of darkness. You cannot even see your hand in front of you. It's pitch black. You can move your hand right in front of your face, and you won't see it. It is like so dark. And then these noises of these beasts outside your house. Stay indoors. Don't look out your window. Make sure you got thick curtain. If you're one of those persons that need to see outside, thick curtain, go under your bed. I'm going under my bed with my family. Vice is the thing. If you have a big closet, go in your closet. Close the door. Stay there on the floor. See if you can go to the bathroom. You'll have tremendous fear, though. Because when the Lord showed it to me the other day, we had tremendous fear even to go to the bathroom. And you may say, why, Brother Ellie? Why, Brother Ellie? When you go through it, you will totally understand why. Because it's going to be horrendous outside. It's nothing that people have experienced. You know, what did God, I was telling my son, what did God say through Moses to the people during when the angel of death was coming, when they put the blood on the post? One of the order was to stay indoors. Put the blood on the post, close the door, and stay inside. Okay? Stay indoors. Why? God knows you don't need to look at that thing. Okay? Because it can do harm to you even you're looking at it and so much more, which you don't want to experience. You don't want your children to experience. You know? So you're better off listening to God and say, okay, God wants me to stay inside and don't even look outside. Do it, please. Do it. Because it's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. Because they will experience something they never thought it would be. My brother and sister, keep your children inside. We're not even allow our children to go to the door, near the door, or anything. We know what we need to do under the bed. It's a safer place. Okay? I don't know how we're going to fit under the bed. We will. When you are in fear, I say in fear, but when you're hiding, you'll hide pretty well under the bed. Will be secure. But pray, please pray. Always pray. I see people running from demons in the Great Tribulation. And what do I tell? Repent, pray. Pray. Because they feel they have no time. But brother, don't you see what's going on? You're telling us to pray. Don't you see the demon coming against us? Pray. Because people always lose the focus to pray when something bad is happening. No. Pray. God is only a prayer way to help us.
Amen.
He's always a prayer way to help us. He'll help us. But he wants us to call upon him. That's why the Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's a prayer way to being saved. And the Lord knows how to keep us safe. There's a verse that says that the Lord knows how to keep the righteous. For the Lord knows how to keep the righteous. My brother and sister, very, very important. My brother and sister, because this is coming, and you want to stay close with the Lord under his wings, under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
Okay? What does the chicken do with the chicks, right? Mm-hmm. She covers them when the enemy are coming to try to eat her baby under her wing. God does the same thing with you and I. It's going to get bad down here. But the Lord is with us. He will keep us. He will protect us. Amen. You want to read something, brother?
Going back to what Brother Elby was saying, we can go back to Psalms 91.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And this, again, the prayer of Psalms 91 is on the LordsHour.org website. And as Brother Elby had mentioned, you can, copy or make copies of the prayers themselves so that you have them readily available. You know, when that time comes for the 3 days of darkness, that if you can make copies of them, you can go ahead and pass it out amongst your family, your friends, your neighbors, other brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Yeah. So. So going back to Psalms 91, I'm reading out of the Geneva Bible, verse 1. Whoso dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, O my hope and my fortress, he is my God, in him will I trust. Surely I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowl hunter and from the nice and pestilence. He will cover you under his wings. That's what Brother Elby was saying, as he gave the example of the chicken and her chicks. So he will cover you under his wings, and thou shalt be sure under his feathers. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the fear of the night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the plague that destroyeth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Doubtless with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, for thou hast said, the Lord is my hope. Thou set the Most High for thy refuge. There shall none evil come unto thee, neither shall any plague come near thy tabernacle. For he shall give his angels charge over you, and to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, that thou not hurt your foot against a stone. Thou shalt walk upon the lion and the ass, and the young lion and the dragon shall you trout under feet. Because he has loved me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll exalt him because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will hear him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and glorify him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow, what a promise that is. Now, the prayer I have in the Lord's Hour.Lord is more personalized, but it's just as powerful.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that's it. The Lord, my brother and sister, is going to do his part, his promise. He's going to fulfill his word, his promise to us, because he's faithful. There's no way he can be unfaithful to us or to anyone, my brother and sister. But of course, he wants us to completely trust him and depend on him and know that he's faithful, that He's going to keep his promise to us, my brothers and sisters, because he is a faithful God. And all he wants us is to depend on him and know that he's there for us always. Not in some occasion, always. He's there for you and I. Thank you, Lord. So the time for us to see the mighty hand of God, as God says to the children, to Moses, and then stay still and see the mighty hand of God. We're going to see it. The time is coming. Because the Lord, when he makes a promise, he fulfills his promise, my brother and sister. The 3 days of darkness are close. Very, very close. And us keeping our eyes on Jesus is what's going to help us through it. If we get caught up doing something else and not repenting, not on the word, not meditating on him, not crying out to him. I mean, you see a cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. I need your help. I need you, Lord, to intervene in my situation. Lord, I need you to be with me, your light to be with me. I heard someone say that the Lord's going to be the heater for us that won't have heating. To be honest, we don't have much heating for us. If we run the stove and the heating with what we have, we're going to run out soon. We might have a month or two if we run out everything the way we usually run it out right now with electricity. I believe in a month, month and a half, we'll have nothing. So the Lord has provided what we have. But after that, we better cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? We better cry out to the Lord for help. He always makes it in a way that we have no choice but to cry out to him. And that's exactly what's going to be, my brothers and sisters. Amen. He is faithful, but he demands obedience. And to God, obedience is better than sacrifice. He's not getting obedient. He's not getting obedient. He's getting a lot of people to, you know. Yes, tomorrow is D-Day. Tomorrow is the last day of diesel. And then whatever they have on backup, because some companies have diesel backup, maybe including our electricity company, they may have a few hours backup or a few weeks. But not enough because the millions of barrels they need to run the city is a lot. So, of course, there will be city immediately going in blackout after tomorrow, maybe a few hours after, a few days after. And, again, be prepared for it. People should already battery, flashlight, candles, whatever you can. Kerosene lamp. I order kerosene lamp, but I have not received all my kerosene lamp. I have one, I believe, in the house already that I can use for emergency. I don't know if Brother Ben has some in his house, kerosene lamp.
No, I know. I have candles and solar flashlights. I do have.
Yeah, we can start with the candle in the dark. Solar,
yes.
No. We can start with the candle. Batteries are going to run out. We know that. We already try it. I already tested my battery backup that I have. In a few hours, they're out completely. So, but I do have some wind power a little bit, which can keep my battery outside for my chicken lights on 24 hours, which I've been testing also, which is a good thing. We get a lot of wind up here. So that will help us to keep some kind of light. Indoor, I can put an extension and we'll have some kind of light. We've been preparing for a month, years now.
Yes.
And so, but a lot of people that don't have it, oh man, for the cold, the lights are not going to help us with the cold. The kerosene lamp may help. Remember you were telling me about that you can do a...
Yeah. I was telling Brother Elvie earlier that in YouTube videos, you can look up and do a search on how to, you know, use clay pots, if those of you that are familiar. And you can put a candle under the clay pot with, you know, bricks to hold them up at a certain distance, and that candle over time would heat the clay pot, and it will develop heat all the way around. So that's one thing. Those of us that don't have the money, you know, and our finances are limited, is to purchase candles. Candles and probably a clay pot, and look up on a YouTube video of how to set up that particular type of heater. But then again, caution as you want, because, you know, the candle is a burning flame, and anything that gets close to it, maybe a curtain or something flammable like paper on the table, make sure to use caution to keep everything away from anything that's burning or that's being lighted up in your home. Your heater, for instance, if you got an electric heater, keep things away that are flammable, you know, at a safe distance, where it'll be probably be in the center of the room in which you're going to be in, but keep all clothes or anything that's flammable away from it, and that way that it'll be avoided, you know, a fire. But then again, make sure, please have a fire extinguisher, because during then there'll be no fire department or no rescue responses, no ambulance is going to be running if you know, encounter any kind of emergency in your home, you know, or a fire, let's say, that starts in your home. So please have a fire extinguisher and take precautions as far as, you know, the any type of flame that you start in your house, whether it be a candle or your gas stove for a heater, or even your propane heater that you run in your home. Yeah, try to keep all flammable items away. And on the candles, you could possibly use a 1 pound can to put the candles in, or even a glass vase that you put the candles in that way. It'll provide some kind of protection and keep it away from, you know, flammable things that would probably be on the table or wherever you set your heating source.
Now, what about for the looting and all that is coming?
The looting? Yeah.
And the robbing and stealing. And yeah. Don't do what other people, you see other people doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, don't do what you see other people doing. They're looting and robbing other people, because the reason why Biden administration called the other governors from the, especially up here from the north, is that there's going to be a lot of looting.
Yes. I think, you know, really in the big cities.
Because of the power outages, a lot of looting. And
yes. You know, when people become desperate, they would do anything to get what they want. You know, they'll rob you, they'll mug you. Just be careful nowadays when you go out shopping, is to know your surroundings. When you get out of your car, go into the store, and even when you come out, know who's around the parking lot. You know, if you see anybody suspicious, any vehicle that's just driving around slowly, rounding around the parking lot. So use caution, please. Use caution and just common sense, you know. When you go out to do any type of shopping, you should already by now have most of the supplies that you need. Other than that, if you don't need to go out now, what I suggest and what we've been doing with Brother Elvy is to order things online. But please do it right away, because we don't know about this diesel situation, and we know there'll be no diesel, so there'll be no trucks running, no gasoline for the delivery trucks to deliver, you know, the items. So if you can, order them, you know, now. Don't wait till the last minute, please. Yeah, order them now, today, tomorrow.
Now, we saw that Brother Ben and I, we were This is when we will go get in the propane tank, right?
Yes.
Another guy had a truck full of propane tank in the back, and one of them failed. And the part is that now people are getting desperate. They're going around buying propane tank, buying whatever they can. I went on Amazon to order a gallon of kerosene. The price doubled almost immediately. I went on Walmart online to order a propane tank, and they've been ordered already. Now they push the day all the way to the end of the month, like to the 1st, I believe it is, December now. Now, with the diesel problem coming up, by the end of this week, it's going to get worse. I don't know if I'm going to get my diesel tank, not diesel tank, my propane tank delivered. Because now Walmart, Amazon, all these companies are going to give people an excuse, the delay because of the problem. And they delay. We may never get a problem. Maybe they'll just return our money back and that's it. Now the mess is starting to hit Walmart, Amazon, and all these delivery companies. Now we're getting everything to be in delay. I call another local company who gets propane in large from the federal government and all that. And they'll also delay all the way to January 1st, which I wanted them to bring me a tank and propane. And I was on the phone with them, and they deal with states like North, South. They'll get the propane from anywhere because they're connected with everyone. And they'll also have a delay now to January. So they are starting to experience now the delay. And the problem have not even started yet. Tomorrow is the last day. And all the delivery company, the trucks that runs on diesel, now they're giving us an excuse on the phone that everything is being delayed. So most likely we're not going to get our package anymore after the diesel problem starts. So the signs are clearly that this already has begun, and it's going to be greater than what we think. Cities and outages, it's not good. It's just not good. They have elevators and so much more. Remember that we may be in darkness, but the emergency also may also be in darkness. So it's just going to be tough for everyone, my brother and sister. And again, planes already, I already hear online on the news. I like to read the news before I go into prayer. And I already hear that this will set a lot of airline plane down. They're just going to set the plane down because a lot of the diesel is part of the airline service also. It pertains to their service. And I don't know how it is tied to it, but Brother Ben was explaining to me that they get out of oil, right?
Yeah. Oil is the producer of, our gasoline, kerosene, and jet fuel. These are the byproducts of having oil. So if we don't have no oil, I just want to make a point here, which Brother Elvie and I talked about, that even if they did have oil, the priority for oil, and if we do go to war, though, I'm a retired Army veteran, the priority is that the oil will go to the military. Okay,
yes.
And all the gas, diesel that are refined from that oil will directly go to the military. That's first
company.
Yes. And then the government agencies. And then guess who's on the bottom of the list? Us, the people, throughout the United States and its territory.
Federal and state and individual.
Yes. So we're the lowest one on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm. And they're short 100 million barrel, in which diesel, 100 million barrel of diesel, that's a big problem. Because they can, as they're saying online, they can't just create it out of thin air. Okay? They have to have the refinery for that. And they're blaming Russia with the war in Ukraine. Now, General have a solution. They go bomb Russia, get Russia out of the way, and then they'll have all the diesel they want. That's not going to work. That's why when I heard them saying this, I said, oh, no. This problem goes, it's going to go farther than what anyone thinks. If they need to destroy Russia and everything Russia has in order for the United States and the world to have diesel, this is an on-end problem right now.
Another thing I like to mention is when Brother Elliot talked about the earthquake in California and the eastern tsunami, remember that all these coastal states have the seaports, which, you know, bring in by ship shipments from overseas, whether it be from the Far East or from Europe. So if California is destroyed by the earthquake, which, you know, it's going to come, and they're expecting it, really, in California, all throughout the state and up to the West Coast, and then the eastern tsunami. Remember that all the coastal cities, or the ports, rather, that receive these containers of goods from the Far East and from Europe, it'll be no longer be in service. You know, so that's really a big thing. And for our economy, we won't have an economy, yet a country, because the government will be too busy trying to recover from all the damages from the earthquake and also from the tsunami. So, yeah, we're going to have to really depend on our Lord Jesus Christ for all our needs, and also use our godly wisdom to go ahead and try to survive, to persevere to the very end. But never give up.
Never give up.
Amen. Never give up, please.
And I'll remind people, this might be our last program.
Yes.
This might be. I've been saying it now, what, 3 programs now? This might be our last program. It might be that because of the power outages, North Carolina, out of the 7 emergency states that's going to be hit with this diesel, North Carolina is one of them. So because of the problem with diesel here, our Duke Energy here is going to begin to shut down the city. And so we won't have power. And the emergency power that we have, it may not be enough to run the Lord's Tower as we... If we could run a computer, and we would, well, we'll see what we can do.
Right. You know. Just on that, I think if we do have any information, I think we can post it on the Lord's Hour website.
That would help.
Yeah, that would help. Mm-hmm. But to just come on the, you know, on the Lord's Hour.
Well, a lot of the websites run some power.
Yeah.
They will be down, too.
But if we do have power, though.
Mm-hmm.
And to expect some kind of information, we will post it on the website. So, and if you got the means that, for example, there's certain areas that probably would have power, then, you know, and if there's internet within the area, you know, there'll be satellites that still have internet service probably. I don't know.
There will be some state better than our state, but our state are in the... In the red zone,
yeah.
They already call it the red zone. The cold red zone is what they call it. Cold red zone. We are in the cold red. North Carolina is. So the major city here will have no power. And Asheville is one of the cities. They will have no power. For the Lord to tell me that my ministry it's over, it's done. He knows what's coming. And I've been saying it last week since He said it to me, that, you know, we only have about a few days to be in the air. Today might be the last days. If we don't know at what time tomorrow this is going to be felt, we don't know if it's in the morning, in the middle of the day, in the afternoon. We'll see. But the power shutdown are going to begin. We were thinking maybe a week after tomorrow is when it's going to start hitting hard, but it may be right away because according to the Department of Energy, they said they only have until the 23rd, and that's it. They don't have no more diesel to continue to run everything as they were doing it normally. And then the other 25% or the other 25 million is going to go to the government, and they're not going to share it with the city because they don't see the city as a priority, you know. It's so, you know, practically everybody will be on their own for now. Gas station are going to run out of gas station. Make sure you fill your car. That's what I've been doing today. Go and go. You can look it up, Brother Joseph. I don't have it right now. The 7 states that are in cold red. North Carolina is one of them. I believe it's the south and north. And now, fill up your car, your tank with gas. Go to the gas station tomorrow. If you have some time, which a lot of people will be off from work, fill your car up and whatever, buy some containers, just 5-gallon containers. If you can go to Walmart tonight, okay, and get a 5-gallon container, that will help you. I ordered some. I don't think it's going to come. We might have to run to the store. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to have to get up and run to the store and get a couple more 5-gallon container of gas and just put it, because the power outages are going to begin and it's going to be tough. We have a couple generators that we can run on gas or propane, either or. But they don't run no more than, 8 hours?
We can run it, but it's just a matter of how much fuel that we have to keep it on, you know, for X amount of hours.
Mm-hmm. I was researching online that the minimum you run your generator, the minimum power you pull out of your generator, the less fuel are consumed, and then you can extend your tank for longer hours, which I thought, well, that's a great idea. You know, if you use, like, backset lights, you know, and charge your cell phone, stuff like that. Harbor Freight have I think it's $99, a small generator, which I have one of those in the basement, that it has a small tank. You fill it with gas, I think it is, and you can run it, and that will run you some lights in the house. So you don't be, and can run for, I think it's 12 hours, 10 hours, something like that. But it runs with so little gas that you can keep filling it up and just run it. You know, and it's not so noisy. It's very small. So, you know, things like that, you know, try to think of what you can do. Prepare for the worst, even though it might be light, it might be just here and there and won't affect you. Prepare for the worst, because later on down the line, it's going to get worse. Nothing is going to stop this from getting worse. It may start lightly, but I saw in the revelation of the Lord for next year, 2023, I saw martial law in the United States. I saw martial law. And I know this mess is starting from this year. They already have a riot coming up in December. Programs, riot by the leaders. They're going to Washington, and they're going to riot in the state and in Washington, D.C. for December. Exactly what I saw. By the end of the year, riots. And they're going to get violently. A lot of people know these riots get violently. They start breaking stores and stuff like that. But I saw in 2023 martial law in the United States. Our streets were empty. The country did not look pretty. And I was somewhere between Maryland, Virginia, and Washington when the Lord was showing me all this. I could see all that area there. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly in 2023. I share with people, I didn't see the church. I didn't see no one Christian. I just saw secular people, very little of it, though, because I don't know if they already were taking people to the FEMA camps, which that's what they're planning. My brother and sister, if that's the way things are going to be, I hope we're not around. God's not going to tell us a day and hour, but he says it's over. When he says it's over, it's over. I'm hoping we're not around, my brother and sister. I'm hoping the trumpet already sound before martial law. There was a time years ago I remember seeing that we were under martial law when we were working here in the community, the Lord Tower community. And we were in our land working with the building, working with the people that had come in from the different states. They were coming to stay in the community. That was all under martial law. I knew that. We had a curfew. I believe it was 8 o'clock, everybody needed to be into their homes, property, under martial law. And they can always go 6 o'clock, but I believe it was 8 o'clock they told everyone. Everyone must be home, not on the road. If you're caught on the road, army vehicle will take you to the FEMA camps. They were like under arrest, like they did in Iraq, during the war in Iraq. So similar is going to happen here in the United States. The Lord showed me very clearly. And we are right now so close to all this. So close. My brothers and sisters, we don't want to preach fear. We want to preach knowledge, preparedness, being ready for the worst. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the worst, you and your family. Because if you and your family are not prepared, you'll suffer the most. Because when the power goes out, you're looking at each other. We have no candle. We have no light. What do we do now? And that's what's going to set on a lot of people who are not believing, who are doubting, who are not preparing. They're going to be looking at ourselves and their family. We don't have match condo. We don't have battery. And they may have battery will only last for a few days, a few hours. Candles maybe for a few days. We bought candle, what, for 30 days?
Yes.
I believe we have for 30 days. Maybe we should have for a whole year. But we're also going to learn more of our own mistake because 30-day candle is not enough. But we are going to use it wisely, though. Because we're not going to have them on all day long. So my children, we're going to go to bed early, without any power. We'll turn the candle on about 5 o'clock in the winter. It's already getting dark. We turn it on to maybe 7, and for 3 hours, you're not going to use the whole candle for 3 hours. You have it for maybe a few more days. So, and then everyone to bed, everyone to sleep, and that's it. We're going to have to shower with cold water. No more. Our water heater will not be working. We know that. So cold water for everyone. Not going to be easy. I know not everyone will be showering every day as we do now. All that comfort and having water, electricity, and all that, we know we're going to lose all that privilege, my brother and sister. But, amen, we're trusting in the Lord. We're not complaining. We're not going to murmur. God help us not to murmur or complain. We're not going to blame God. God told us this was coming. It is for us just to prepare. Okay? Yes. To say shower with cold water, it's going to, to me, it's going to bring me a lot of memory from back in the island. But, you know, remember, we got different weather back in the island. It's hot, so it's okay, but not over here. It's just so cool. But, you know, we're not going to die by it. We're just going to have to do it, my brother and sister. It's not going to be. And then cooking without power. At least we have a grill outside.
Yes, we do.
And the grill has a
side burner where we can go ahead and either boil water or cook a stew or whatever. So
yeah.
Whatever means that you have to, you know, have to cook, whether just building a campfire or from a barrel, a metal barrel where you can, you know, put a grill on top of it and you can cook on it, you know, through firewood and all that. But really, if you're in the city, that's really kind of difficult to cook in the home. The only thing I can advise there is using camp stoves, like small Coleman camp stoves that run on small bottles of propane tank, the 1-pounder. You can get them at Walmart or any camping stores, like outdoor stores, you know, for outdoor equipment. But yeah, those are normally the cheaper route to go, is the camping supplies. You know, they got lanterns, you know, and then doing your research on the internet as to, you know, some of these places like Tractor Supply, Ace Hardware. They carry heaters, lanterns, you know, but check for the price now, because prices have been going up.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
It's going to be terrible. So afford what you can. But I just want to leave you with this verse here, and it's
from Philippians, and it's on chapter 4, verse 19. But our God shall supply all. Remember, Brother Elvie, you said all. All is inclusive here, right? Our need.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. According to his riches in his glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. That's it, my brother and sister. Trust in the Lord. It's going to be the best thing, best decision you and I can make. Now, I have this sister who the Lord had given her a dream of the rapture, and she also, she, I believe, has another dream of what's going to be happening in the days to come. It's not going to be easy, but trusting in the Lord is what God wants each and one of us to do. Amen. That's what he wants us to do. And verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand, the same should drink out of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out unmixed unto the cup of his indignation. He should be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. I know a lot of people have gone back and looked at this verse and say, that is nuclear weapon right there. Missiles coming out of the air. Because it says that tormented with fire and brimstone. And they got missile now, the bunker buster missile, which Russia has been using in Ukraine also. They, when they hit those rocks, it makes it like rain of brimstone. It's just tremendous destruction that it caused, my brothers and sisters, in the presence of the Lamb, the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
So all this stuff to come is here. We just need to prepare for the worst. Not wanting to go through the worst, though, but trusting the Lord. And then the smoke, verse 11, of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day and night, who worshiped the beast in his image, and whosoever received the mark on his right hand. This mark on the right hand is the RFID and the fully vaccination. My brother insisted. The RFID in the right hand. Right there. Remember the revelation the Lord's given me about this pastor and his congregation in the Great Tribulation. They were lining up to receive the mark in the right hand because they could not buy or sell. They could not go to the store, nothing. And they were all going hungry. They were so hungry like they could not have service. And people got desperate. And then the government were telling them to line up to receive our mark so they could eat and get food stamps and all that. And I saw when the pastor stretched out his right hand for them to put the mark, the RFID in the right hand, injected in the right hand. My brother and sister, that shocked me. That was in the Great Tribulation that I saw him do this. And I'm like, yeah, this is a pastor. This is a man of God. He knows the word. He knows the word. He knows this word, and he was stretching his right, because he was so hungry in his congregation, and they just wanted to eat. They wanted to get receive food stamps and get some food. He stretched out his hand to get it, and I saw what they were putting it on these people. And what I remember is, and this was back then, I'm talking about what, over 10 years, being injected, like they injected the RFID now, a grain of rice, right?
Yes.
They were injecting the needle and putting in the grain of rice in his right hand, over like go out under his skin there. My brother and sister, that's what I remember. Back then, and there was no RFID back before 2010, there was no RFID. We just read the mark of the beast, and the Lord takes me into the Great Tribulation, and I see this injection of this grain of rice being injected in this pastor's right hand. Now, you tell me. It was being injected in his right hand, a grain of rice. You look it up now when they inject it in these government buildings, hospital, when the RFID is being injected in these people's right hand. What is it? Is it not a grain of rice that you see being injected, my brother and sister? Or am I wrong? Or am I making this up? Because if you think I'm making this up, go on YouTube and look it up. Look at people receiving the RFID in the right hand now, which is highly recommended. They will not inject it in the left hand. The people that say, look, I think that's the mark of the beast, put it in my left hand. And they say, no. They used to inject it in the left hand. All those people that got the RFID injected in the left hand, they have gone back to their personal doctor. They have removed it, and now they have put it in the right hand because they all got infected. They got sick, and they developed even sickness through having it in the left hand. Having it in the right hand, the RFID, is recommended and is healthy. It's not, you won't get sick. You won't even get sick. They say, this is the mark of the beast. I told the people in 2013, said, you crazy. You are crazy. What do you come up with this idea? Because I seen it so many years prior, my brother and sister, when the Lord took me into Great Tribulation, they were being injected this grain of rice. And in 2013, when Obama came out with the RFID, I don't think it was that small yet. It was still in the process of being made small. The only thing I know is that a few years after that, no, it was the same year, I believe, it was already made ready to be injected, because that's what Revelation 13 said, the mark of the beast in the right hand and the forehead. And it's put in the right hand. And now they also find out by test that it's right on the forehead. If you put it on someone's forehead, because they've been doing study, is that on the forehead and the right hand is perfect. You won't get sick or anything, according to doctors. Same thing what Revelation 13, 16 say, that he forced us all, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to have a mark in the right hand or on the forehead. It's there, my brother and sister. It's in the word of God, and it aligns with the year. It started in 2013, Revelation 13. Now, I'm reading Revelation 14. In 2014, it was clear as being on television and on YouTube, the grain of rice the Lord showed me back in, 2008, maybe 2009, way before this technology came out. He showed me in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. In another occasion, this person being chased by the army in the Great Tribulation, they cut after him. They set him in a chair. I saw when they tied his hand, and they was telling him, to get this, they have his right hand. He had the injection right there with the grain of rice ready to inject it to him. And they were asking him. He kept saying, no, no. And I heard when this person said from the government, listen, you either get this right now or you know what we're going to do to you. Because you've seen what we have done to others. That's talking about the beheading. He didn't want to die. Because in reality, no one wants to die. No one wants to be killed. And they were telling him, you either have us put this mark right here and you can get food and medicine, or you are going to be killed.
Yes. I'd like to say something, too. On the RFID chip, what it stands for is R is for radio, F is for frequency, I is for identification, and D is for device. So it is a device they use to track you. And that goes along with the 5G system that's going on, you know, within the cell towers and all that. So they're going to be working in tandem together as far as the frequency and also supplying, you know, whatever power that it needs to operate within your body system. So just keep that in mind, that yes, we would want to probably not get the RFID.
No.
We must be martyred. Okay.
Beheaded.
So that's going to be a test of faith from each and every one of us that confronts that situation at that particular time.
Don't take the mark.
Yes, please do not take the mark. Mm. I'd rather go ahead and get beheaded, build up that courage, or pray right there within your head, Lord, help me. And once you're beheaded, well, golly, you'll be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you in heaven.
And another thing is the ring that they use for the RFID is bigger than the normal one, like when people get the flu shot and all that. And you can notice it's bigger. Although they have made that grain of rice even smaller, it gets outdated or upgraded. And they've been upgrading it. So now they supposedly they made it a lot smaller so it can be painless for people. But the fact of the matter is, it is the mark of the beast. Just as when I asked the Lord standing in front of me if the vaccine was the mark of the beast, he says to me, it's the same. Jesus says to me, it's the same. And that's why I encourage everyone, go to the Lord and ask the Lord himself. If the vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine, the mark of the beast, he'll tell you it's the same. Same, same, same. And the Lord sometimes will say, oh, listen to my son, Elvie, because he has said that to people. Listen to my son. He's speaking to you my word, my revelation. It's what he tells a lot of people, my brother and sister, but I'll send you to the Lord. And if the Lord tells you, listen to what we're teaching here, then, you know, listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. He knows best for us, my brother and sister. He's the one taking care of us. He's the one that's going to protect us and all this. My brother and sister, his protection is greater than any protection. But it tells you very clear here in Revelation 14, in regards to the mark of the beast, my brother and sister, hallelujah. What verse is that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 9.
And so in the third angel, follow them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, and there's been a lot of worshiping of the beast this year. Okay? I'm not going to go into that because that's a horrible thing. But this man, whenever he goes, he's being worshipped by people. He was in another state, I think it was in New Mexico or Arizona, either one. And people were not even, the video is online on YouTube in case you're wondering. People were not even letting him speak. Like worshipping him, my brother and sister. It was all worshipping him. He couldn't even speak. The video I saw it online is terrible. How far people are taking this. And what did the Bible say? If any man worship the beast, they are worshiping him. In his image, a lot of people have a lot of photo on him and they worship him, his image and those photos. Would a photo be like an image? Photo,
yes,
is an image, right?
Of course. Yeah.
So they worship his image. Okay? In his image and receive his mark. Huh. Look to the Bible point that is the mark that the mark belongs to. Him. Because he's the one that came out when he was in office in 2013 with this mark. His mark. In his forehead or on his hand or his hand. Either one. Forehead or hand, my brother insisted. He came out with this technology. His technology. And if anyone worshiping on his image and take this mark on the right hand on the forehead, it tells you what's going to happen. Okay? To God, this is a very serious thing. You know, we're saying it as much as we can say it, but to God, this is a very serious thing. And you may not think he's the Antichrist, and he is anyway. You can ask the Lord yourself in prayer and fasting. But he is the Antichrist. And the Lord told me this years ago, back in 2012, I think it was, before 2013, and I told the people, I was preaching about him before that he will come out. And when he came out, I asked the Lord said, yes, he is the one. He is the Antichrist. Jesus told me clearly. I said to the people, they thought I was crazy. They thought I was being racist. Not nothing to do with racism, being crazy. It's speaking out the truth even when a lot of people don't believe it. And then I thank God that now so many people, the Lord has confirmed it, my brother and sister. Verse 10. The same shall drink out of the wine of the wrath of God. Why out of the wine of the wrath of God? Because God is so angry for this. Okay? This is the word Father used to me. And the Lord Jesus was there as a witness, and the witness are true. A matter is established. Father says to me that whoever takes this by sin will not be part of his kingdom. But we know he's merciful. And then he showed me the people that will cry out to him, and he will have mercy. But he's very clear and very angry when he told me this. Very clear, very angry. Father God, when you go to heaven, you can all ask. You can go asking himself if I'm telling you the truth. He says to me, whoever take this by sin will not be part of my kingdom, he says. Okay? And I came on the Lord's Hour. You can go back and listen to it. I tell you what Father said. Very angry. Father said this to me. Will not be part of his kingdom. So the saints should drink out of the wine of the wrath of God. He's angry. Pour out, unmixed, unto the cup of indignation. And he should be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. Jesus was there next to me standing when Father spoke this word to me, my brother and sister. And the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day and night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receive a mark on his name. Me knowing this and understanding it and seeing what the Lord has shown me and seeing this pastor take this mark like drinking a Coca-Cola, my brother and sister, it breaks your heart. Or drinking a bottle of water. Terrible. How can people do that so easy? You know what it is? The unbelief. Not repenting daily as God has called us. Because if you're not doing it, you can believe the lie. You can fall into the lie of the enemy. This is why daily repenting, committing a life to the Lord is so important. Because if we don't do it, every day, Jesus said, bring his own trouble, problem, argument, disagreement, and so much more. How do you deal with these things? Repenting. Amen. Coming to the Lord for mercy and help. Or what drown in an argument, in disagreement, and fighting. And look at people. They're going to loot us, stealing. That's not going to help them. And there might be lukewarm Christian that will be stealing too because they say, well, I got to live. I got to survive. If you're not trusting in the Lord, you're going to do the foolish things that we're not supposed to be doing. My brother and sister. Sad to say it, but it's a fact. You know, in the newer Bible, the word stupid, you're finding more as the word fool. The Bible says we're not supposed to call anyone fool. But in the olden day, they used to call people stupid. In the newer day, the word has been translated to fool. I don't know how that be. But in the olden Bible, you read more about fool or stupid, I'm sorry. Because it's making really poor decision when someone does that. And God doesn't want us to be making those poor decisions, my brother and sister. He wants us to become more obedient. Here's a testimony of our sister.
On my phone. Out of data. I was like, so anyways, I just woke up from an intense dream from God. I pray every day for like different things that concern me, and I am getting answers. But we're just staying occupied until the Lord comes. So people go, well, what about my job? What about this? What about that? Okay, well, God has an answer for that. And to just hold your peace and continue to stay occupied until he comes. Continue to share the gospel. Continue to be wherever he has you assigned. Continue to keep working arm in arm with the Lord for his kingdom, no matter what, because we're so close. And the enemy wants to take you out before that time comes. Like, he wants to just ruin your testimony. But the reality is that the people who are a Judas, they wouldn't receive Jesus anyways. So don't even worry about those people. Okay, if you just got here, hi, hello, God bless you. My introduction to everything was just that people don't want to hear that the rapture is about to happen. That's the thing, is that God knows who this is for, and it's really sad. It's really sad because most people don't want to hear this word. even now when I watch prophetic messages, a lot of people, they say, don't strike fear into the people. And I'm just like, if you saw what I saw, when you report what you see, it's as if I'm really there. Okay, so this is what happened. I was in this trailer, and I was going through a lot in my life, which is currently what's going on. So I'm going through a lot, and this is a dream. So if you're listening, you just tuned into the dream. Okay, and to my right, I could hear the person on my right-hand side across the wall, across the way. They were women that were, like, prostituting themselves, and they're also doing witchcraft. And I knew that there was one girl who was very young who had actually betrayed me before and actually really hurt me. And she really, really wanted me to be, like, a mother to her. And then as soon as somebody else came in and just, like, took over, she just gossiped and gossiped and gossiped about me and basically slandered me. I could barely function because of the environment that I was in. It was such a toxic environment. So anyhow, she was there and she was talking about how much money she makes and that, you know, Mondays aren't such good nights, you know, and that, but she's a top earner as far as prostituting is concerned, and that she's one of the main girls or whatever. And that there's somebody else that's like a main girl as well. One of the main top earners. And they were also talking, like said my name, which I thought was really weird. And I was just like, what? Like, why are they talking about me? Like, what do I have to do? But it was as if they were putting me in their same type, like as if I was like them. And I was just like, what? And, then I noticed that my daughter is running off with the dog that I love, my animal, and she's, like, killing my animal to eat the animal for meat and is cutting the butt of the animal, like, as if it's a pig butt. And I'm like, what are you doing? I told you not to do this. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, it's like, I should have hid the knives. So that leads me to believe that there's, like, famine, and so that's why women are desperate to make money, and maybe they're assuming that I'm like them since I'm not starving. But the wall became a tent, and I could reach over, and I remember I had kind of shared my testimony, and I hugged her, and I hugged her from behind, and I just told her, I love you, you know, and Jesus loves you, and come back to the Lord. And she went back with her friends, and she was like, yeah, you know, these people, like, she just kept on talking, didn't really, like, repent yet, and kind of still, like, not, she's kind of still on the fence, like, you know, like, when you come to Christ, you have to have a change, you have to confess that he is Lord. And so part of her didn't really want to confess that he was Lord because she didn't want to be shunned from the group and, like, disliked by everybody. And so she's like, she could feel his presence, she could feel his pull on her heart, but she just wasn't there yet. And so I then prayed and I said, Yeshua. And then as soon as I said Yeshua, it was like a lightning struck the center of wherever they were at. And I was like, she's going to know it's me that, like, prayed that prayer. Like she's going to know it's me. And I was just like, Lord, like, I don't want any, like, retaliation or anything like that. I was just like, Yeshua. And then she started singing with me. We were singing the same song and we were just worshiping God together. And I went back to where I was seated at and waiting for her. And they came out and they knew that I was there and they were, like, asking for, like, money or help or something like that. And I was, like, trying to figure out if it was them that was asking for help or if it was somebody else that was asking for help, because they were asking me via the phone, like, please give us money, something or something other. And then they had came out, and since they knew that I was the one that was praying and that they could, that my presence was, like, kind of known about. So then they, it's going to get confusing if you just jump in. So kind of try to rewind if you can. In Jesus' name, I bind all distractions off of me right now. So right after, this is where it gets good. Okay, just hold on for a minute. Father God, I just pray, Lord, for every single person watching. I pray for peace over their mind, Lord Jesus. I pray for peace, and I pray for the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to be upon their minds, their hearts, and their souls. That you would bring conviction to their families and help them to prepare their household, Lord Jesus. Give them words of knowledge that they will be able to raise up a standard against the enemy. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against us, we condemn. And I bind all witchcraft off of this phone right now in Jesus' name and off of anybody that is watching this in Jesus' name. Okay, so at that point, they came out. There was about five of them, and they were all females. And they believe, like, in the progressive, some of these girls believe in very progressive LGBTQ type stuff. And I just said, I operate in words of knowledge. And it was very brave of me. I just was like, I'm like commending myself. But really, I just like really put myself out there. I put Jesus out there. I put him on the spot. I was like, I operate in words of knowledge, line up, and I'm going to give you each a word of knowledge. Ask me. I wasn't going to give them a word of knowledge without them asking a question. They had to first ask a question, and then I was going to give them an answer. And Jesus was going to give them an answer. And the first one said, are you gay? And I said, no, like, what the heck? And she goes, well, what race are you? And I go, I'm mixed ethnicity. Like, does that matter? And then I was just like, okay, that was weird. So it was just like a waste of my time. It was just like really much a waste of my time. The second girl, she's tall. And she comes up to me. And I said, give me your hand. And they were like, oh my gosh, she's giving you your hand. And I was like, they are constantly looking for ways to make a person who is a Christian seem as if they are not actually Christian. Like, they assume that because they're so perverted that other people are also perverted. So I was just like, okay. So I grab her hand. I hold her hand. And I'm like, no, I'm loving you like a sister. I'm loving you like a sister. The moment that I said that, stop it, Olivia. Stop it. The moment that I said that, instantly, boom, a loud voice came across the sky. And we had thought that it was like a megaphone because it was so loud. So we assumed that it was some sort of government voice that was broadcasting because it was so loud. So it was still recording? Okay. And so we're all like stunned, and it says, people of God, the rapture is imminent. People of the earth, repent. And at that moment, everybody repent right now, repent. And at that moment, boom, a huge cross is formed out of light on the sky. And the light that is on the sky, it looks like a DNA strand almost. And it's, how to explain, it's like stars, made out of stars. And it was like, just shot up like light, and it just stayed there. And I was like, wow. And at that moment, I go, oh my gosh. And I started rising up. And at that moment, I go, I'm rising up. Oh my goodness. And actually wasn't smiling. I'm smiling now because I'm like finally giving the word. And so I started rising up. And at that moment, I got a little bit scary because people who were evil got more evil. And there was a man who was saying, oh, you Christians. Like, he saw me raised up, but he was still saying, you Christians, who are you to say what is right and wrong? And I was, like, lifted up off the ground, and I, like, look at him, and I just released my hand like this, and when I released my hand, water shot out of my hand, and I, like, pushed him onto the ground with the water that came out of my hand. And I was just like, he was like, how dare you? You're so mean. You're so awful. And then somebody across the street, like they were residential houses. And so then I went across the street and like I did that to him. And then I could tell that there was even more people that were coming that were even more evil than these people. And so I prayed to God. I said, God, let the water be like fire, Lord Jesus. Let it just be like fire. So I was literally lifted off of the ground. So if you just jumped on, there was a loud voice that spoke and told the people to repent, that the rapture was imminent. First address the people of God. People of God, the rapture is imminent. People of the world, repent. And it was a female voice, and we assumed that in the moment, people assumed that it wasn't God's angels, that it wasn't an angel, that it was actually a female voice, that it was actually a people assumed that it was like the voice of like a computerized something or other, like CGI or something. They assumed that, but it wasn't. It was an angel announcing that the rapture was imminent, and a cross formed in the sky, and a loud boom was heard. And when that loud boom came, I slowly rose up. And I believed that when I showed my sign that there would be the people that they would repent. Yes, I do. I have a couple other visions that I want to share. Oh, Jesus. And, you know, I really want to pray with you guys, too, because if God has given me this gift, praise the Lord, I want to be able to bless others, but I have to be able to see people's faces. So for me to be able to minister to them, because it's really important for me to see a person's eyes. It can't, it's hard for me to minister when it's just like a comment or something like that. So anyhow, so this vision is not over yet. So I released the fire, and I had two bags. I had like my bag with like my keys inside. And for some reason I was thinking that I was going to have to drive. Like my soul was still like, my conscious mind was not thinking that I could fly yet, even though I could fly, like I could fly wherever I wanted to. And I didn't have to use my feet. I was lifted up and I was able to pray and release fire of the Holy Spirit. But it felt like as if it was burning them. It really was burning them. Well, he comes, this evil man comes up and he tries to steal my purse. And I was able to grab my purse. I still wanted to grab my purse because I felt like I could give the purse, the keys. I knew in my spirit that I could give the keys to someone who needed a car, someone who wasn't ready for the rapture, but that they would give their lives to Jesus. And Jesus would tell me who to give it to. And so I had to snatch that up. Well, they were trying to kill me. They were like pouring gasoline and were going to try to kill me. But instead of killing me, they were going to kill another person. Like, it ended up being some that I flew away before this could even happen. But there was like a pool of water and they were like pouring gasoline and they were like, ha ha ha. Like, and like, it was right below where I was standing. And this man who was like, he was like snickering and like laughing and like he was like joining with them. Like an associate of murder is still guilty of the same crime. So he thought it was funny and he was wanting to kill me. And so he stuck his head in the water as they're pouring the gasoline and he's like looking for me. And I'm not sure if it's like a metaphor or something, but they were not able to find me and I was able to get away. And I knew that as soon as the match was lit, that this guy would be caught on fire. And I was just like, oh man, that's horrible. That is so horrible. So I flew away, but even, and around the same time, I went to a family member who I have warned so many times, almost every single day I'm warning them. I'm warning them, and I'm speaking the life of Jesus into them. I'm reading the word of God to them every single day. And out of this person's mouth, in the depth of their mouth, was fire. Fire was inside of them. They didn't rise up. They were not ready for the rapture. And so this person opened their mouth, and they go like that. When they opened their mouth, I could see black, and I could see fire. And I was like, oh, in the depth of their heart is hell. So their heart's desire is of the things of hell, is of witchcraft, is of pornography, is of perversions that comes from hell, that comes from the depths of hell. And they did not rise up. And I looked at them and I said, look, I'm being raptured. Are you going to repent? And they said, like their mouth open, full of fire, full of hell's fire. And this person goes, don't worry about me. Like very, very, like as if like something came over this person. And they were like, don't worry about me. Just let me be. And then they went and they ran to go sin. And that was it. And there was nothing I could do. I couldn't find them. Jesus wouldn't give me the location. Like, it was as if I still had to have faith, but I was given supernatural gifts before the rapture. And that was like a gift that he gave all the people. And there was hardly anybody that was going to be raptured out of the entire group. The people that I was ministering to, they all ran once the rapture was announced. They all ran to hide. So they all just went missing. And then the people that I could see that were out and about, that were out in the streets. So it's almost like when the rapture happens, people know, because it says when the abomination of desolation happens, do not go back for your coat. Flee to the hills, because the Antichrist will pursue Christians. And that one girl, she became Christian. So I'm wondering if her friends were following her. And I pray that they would repent as well, because otherwise they're just going to, they would just persecute her. They would just hand her up to Satan. Anyways, the beast system will be on the earth and the Christians will be persecuted just like it happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany, but even worse, because I mean, that's horrible. That's horrendous, but it'll be worldwide. It'll be worldwide. The beast system will be worldwide. And it's already being set up. And we are so close. And this is what I heard from Jesus this morning. Jesus said he wants his bride. He said, there's nothing for me here. Like the churches, he said, he just wants his bride. And I'll share that vision in another time. I don't know if it's really even important for me to share, but I'll just share with you what he told me is that he said he doesn't want to fight in this battle anymore because the people aren't true. So the people within the churches are not true soldiers, and that he would rather just have his bride home. And I saw a person who was like, really, Lord? And he took them to see a church and took them to the building, on the outside of the building, and said, see, I told you that they wouldn't fight for me. And once that person saw that they wouldn't fight for him, and we were all like Jewish, it was Nazi Germany, and we were all Jews, and Jesus was also Jewish, and he was saying, what's the point? These people are not true to me. My true church deserves to come home, because nobody is committed. And the people that are committed, they're being persecuted. So let's just go home. Let's just go home. You know, the bridegroom wants his bride. He's ready. And there's going to be a supernatural quickening. If your heart is for the Lord and you're daily repenting, and you're daily giving your life to Jesus, and you're out of any disillusionment and deception, you're going to hear that voice. Your heart will literally drop to your stomach, and you'll drop to your knees, and you'll say, Jesus, forgive me. It's just going to be amazing. And then, because I just pray for peace for anybody watching. If you've watched through this whole thing, God bless you, and the Lord is going to bless you supernaturally at that time, that you need to have the supernatural gifts. He is going to exponentially bless you. He's going to multiply your gifts. So I'm sounding the alarm now that it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And I'm not going to be a soothsayer and tell you that it's going to get better and say, don't be afraid. Okay. Fear is a natural reaction. Faith is a choice that we have to make. So faith is courage. Faith is hope in God. And our faith is going to be tested. So don't expect for it to be easy here on out when people say, you know, that God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. God says that he delivers us by word of knowledge. He will deliver us by knowledge. Through knowledge, we escape sometimes. And the prudent hide themselves in their houses when there's evil in the streets. And read the book of Proverbs. It's all through the book of Proverbs. So, God bless you all. And no matter what, Jesus will never, ever fail you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Call upon his name. And people will be starving. They will be hungry. And just be prepared. Be prepared for the fact that don't be surprised when people, you have to be very, very wise in these times. What you learn in this time, if you are learning to really test a person's fruits, it's because you're going to have that gift or that discernment when there's no food in the pantries, there's no food in the grocery stores, and when people are hungry, they go crazy. And then they invoke demons when they do these evil acts. They're like going to murder each other and like eat each other and stuff like that. And that's why I had a vision of zombies, because they're all dead and they're all going to eat each other. Anyways, that's another dream that I had. So if you can go into my videos, and you'll see like 5 or 6 years ago or something like that. And I was like, this is crazy. Like zombies or something in movies. Well, God says, let the dead bury the dead. So the people who are dead are those who do not have Christ in them. So they already are dead. And then they're going to be so hungry, they're going to want to eat people. And that's what's crazy. And they're like animals. That's how evil they are. And so you have to be very, very careful during this time, you know. So, bye, everybody. God bless you. I just pray that y'all are well, and Jesus loves you. And never, ever give up. Never give up. Just pray. And if you need prayer, find another Christian that you can pray with. And God says that a brother is born for adversity, but there is one that draws closer than a brother. Brother is born for adversity. Sometimes being in adversity can birth friendships. So reach out for prayer to someone that you trust or someone that you know, obviously test the person's fruits. And if the person loves Jesus as much as you do, then you can trust them. And if they have discernment, just pray and ask God to show you. Give the Holy Spirit will give you peace. Where he wants you to be, where he wants you to go. But you keep on knocking, you keep on seeking, and Jesus will help you, right? Please listen from the beginning, because I'm about to end this right now, and it'll really help you, it'll really bless you, okay? And I will share again soon some other visions that I've had, but the rapture is imminent. Anybody who says that it's not, they're not listening to what the Lord is saying. And my heart hurts for them because it's going to get worse before it gets better. And the fact of the matter is God does not want any of his people to be misled. I'm not here to tell you it's going to get easier. Your prayers will be answered and we have victory in Christ, but there is persecution. And the rapture can still happen. The rapture will happen. But stay occupied in the meantime. Okay, bye, y'all. God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you, for every person that has watched this video. Father, I release mighty warring angels into their lives, and I pray for peace upon their hearts in Jesus' name. Give them discernment. Give them wisdom. Show them what to do in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you assign people into their lives to be ministers, to be ministering to one another, they will find someone that they can pray with, Lord Jesus, and speak life into, in Jesus' name, as they carry the cross. Thank you, Lord. Okay, bye, everybody. Mm-hmm. And when the time, if God allows, if any of you have gifts that you want to have stirred up, I would love to one day do a Zoom call where those of us who want to use our gifts, whether you speak in tongues or you have an anointing for healing or anything like that. You can email me. I should have my email in one of the descriptions of my videos. And we will soon gather at the appointed time and share our gifts with one another. Okay? So, because that's what we need to do. We need to edify one another. All right. Goodbye. God bless. Bye.
Brothers and sisters of God, Jesus loves you no matter what. No matter what, no matter what you've been through, no matter what people have done to you, just give back up and keep going. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's hope. And just keep going, okay? And don't give up on yourself. God never gives up. He will redeem what was lost. Okay, so don't give up on yourself. I'm here speaking, prophesying to myself, saying that, you know, don't say, oh, well, I'm not good enough for this, I'm not good enough for that. If God gave you the gift, you need to use it. Okay? So that's a little word to start out. But the message of today is that the Lord is saying, there is going to be a time of famine and a time of civil war. And although we have good intentions when we go to church, his people are not being prepared by... I'm so tired right now. I'm sorry. His people are not being prepared within the church. So... like the church system. But we are the body of Christ, and we are to use our gifts and sharpen one another and build each other up, encourage and exhort. That's what the spirit of prophecy is for, is to encourage and exhort the body of Christ. So here I am, Lord, using my gift. I had a dream. I have had multiple dreams, actually, and this was the instruction. Because there will be famine. And the banks are going to foreclose, and the banks are going to take all of our money. People's entire retirement incomes that they spent 50 years building and just putting money in. And it doesn't matter. They're stockpiling for themselves just so they can have 10 years of, like, bliss or whatever, but... they have millions of dollars stored up in the banks, and it won't matter. It'll all get taken away. I had a vision that I was with my mom, and my mom checked her phone in the middle of the night for some reason, like at midnight, and she goes, like freaked out and goes, oh my gosh, and she goes, it's all gone. It's all gone. And I go, what? And she goes, the banks took all of our money. We have nothing. And so I go, okay, like, oh my goodness, like, that's horrible. Like, the instant thought that I had was, we don't even have, like, $20 in cash or anything. Like, at the moment she had expressed that it was important to have cash. And people are going to say, well, when things happen, you won't want cash. No, don't think that way, because people are still going to be wanting to exchange things, and people will still be using cash, but not only cash, they will be bartering and just working things off and so on and so forth. But so then I go, and I go to the kind of like a building that has, like an old building that has kind of been like knocked down, but it's been like repaired. And I tell the people inside of the building, I say, I am so sorry. I've been needing to get things for myself, and I've not been able to patch this hole. Like, all of the little holes that were inside of this building, they were all fixed. They weren't fixed perfectly. They were fixed with whatever we had, like, you know, old wood and old, like, just patched up. Everything was just patched up. And then there was one big hole right in the middle, and that was, I am so sorry, I've not been able to give these words to you. And so, here I am giving this word that there is major, major economic collapse going to happen. And I've given that word before, but specifically God is saying that the banks are going to take all of our money. And if you do have money, you need to withdraw it. You need to hide your money. You need to get some sort of geocaching. I don't know if you've researched geocaching, but it's G-E-O-C-A-C-H-E. You need to geocache a stash of your harvest, 80% of your harvest. And then in the dream also, I was instructed to buy silver and gold. I wasn't instructed to buy any sort of Bitcoin. I've prayed about it. People talk about it. People are talking about this dog thing, and I just really feel like it's a conflict of interest to tell someone what stock to buy. And that, to me, is a red flag. And I've not been given the instruction to buy, not in any of my visions was I instructed, oh, you need to buy, you know, stock from this thing, stock from that thing, people. You know, even the enemy can give false signs, so don't fall for those deceptions, because you're going to put all your money in something just to have it stolen. It's not good. You need to be wise. Be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and understand that, you know, it's very possible that one person stated, oh, you know, buy the stock, and they're driving the value of the stock up, or I don't know, like, I don't know how stocks work, but I understand that stocks can be good. I mean, I had bought stock, my mom had gifted me stock when I was, like, 14 or 15 or something like that, and I was able to cash out when I was 27 or 28. It was bought at $15 and it sold as $1,000, so I had $1,000, and that was like a Christmas gift, and we waited for years and years and years for it to go up any higher than that, but at that point, I needed the money, and we had already waited for like 15 years, so it was just kind of like, I think stocks can be good if you think of it as like a retirement kind of thing. Like, and the thing is with stocks is that it goes up and down. So putting all your money into a stock is not wise. God says to diversify your income. And if you are capable to work, you should be working right now, because you need to be able to save a harvest. And, yeah, so if you read into what God says about people who basically are just busybodies, it's not good. You know, we can't be busybodies. And there's a time and season for everything. There's a time to heal. And then there's a time to get up and go to war. You know, there's a time to heal, a time to rest, a time to work, a time to play. There's a time to sleep. There's a time for everything under the sun. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. So, I'll give you some of the instructions that God gave me. And this is going to patch up more of those little holes in our shield. So, I believe that the building was our protection. Our protection comes through wisdom, and like I said, what has been given to me is not go out and spend $5,000 on all this, like, prepping gear and things like that. You can get a lot of things at the thrift store or garage sales. I've gotten some really good stuff at garage sales and thrift stores, and lots of camping gear. Get as much camping gear as you can, because at the end of the day, if something does happen and you need to get out of the city, then having a map and having camping gear and going and staying in the national, what is it called, the National Forest, or I forgot what it's called, but it's public land, and it's completely free to stay there. And if you're a woman, stick with women and children. If you are a man, stick with Christian men, or be by yourself. And then as Christians, we will unite together and help one another and share everything that we have amongst each other, just like the Acts Church. And there will be persecution. And that's why it's important to come out of false churches, because they will basically, you'll go to them for help and they will not help you. And not only that, but the Satanists, sorry to say it, but it's like there's no other way to put it. The Satanists and the people who are part of the Antichrist beast system are going to go to the churches to persecute Christians. So pray about every single church, because not every church is like that. Me personally, I live in the land of what I would call like the Canaanites, like I have to be extra careful. But if you live in a land that honors God, and your pastor, you know, speaks the word of God in truth, the full balanced gospel, then follow him, because we are supposed to be, you know, the body of Christ is supposed to be united, and we all have gifts, you know, and it's. We're all supposed to be edifying one another. So, for example, like there was, I ask God about every church that I'm going to go to. Like I'll say, Lord, what about this church? And then I'll pray about it, and then I'll be told no. And I'm like, darn it, because I wanted to go to church. You know, I want to get my daughter and myself into church. And we are the body of Christ, and we are united. But at the same time, God wants us to be using our gifts amongst one another and fellowship with the Lord together. And, we're supposed to be, you know, following Jesus. And there are people who are appointed to be apostles. I'm sorry that my eyes are so tired. I woke up early. Okay, so this is some of the instructions that God has said that he's given me. So prepare cash, silver, and gold. Okay, you don't need to get exorbitant amounts. Just say that every month from now on that you're going to hold back a little bit of your cash. Make sure it's small bills. You're going to want ones. Because if you can't give change and you have to give someone $20, or if you can't buy something that's $2 and you only have a $10 bill, but you really need the item, like it's medicine or something, you're paying $10, not $2. You're paying really high amounts. Okay. Silver and gold. This is the reason why you're going to want to buy silver and gold. And you're going to want to take your money out of your stock, if you have stock right now, and buy silver mostly, because silver is really cheap, and also buy some gold. The reason why is because you want to, when all of this gets sorted out, you want to be able to take that amount of silver and go back to the bank once these things get sorted out, and or maybe not to a bank, but to a buyer who buys silver, and get your money back, like let's say $20,000 or whatever, in silver and gold. and the exchange rate is pretty stable for that. So, and that has been proven, and in the Great Depression, that's something that people survived because they had cash, and they also, they had a house, people who shared housing and owned their homes. Other than that, people were, like, evicted, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter if people, you know, had a newborn baby, you know, they're being kicked out. So they had to go to someone who already owned a home, and they would all, maybe like five families live there. And some people would live in their tents or in their cars for warmth. Okay, so 80% of your harvest, you need to store it away from your home. Hide it. It's kind of scary to think of just hiding 80% of your harvest, but God said, told me that people were going to come steal it. And then after, this was like, I think April or something like that, but I had that vision of a, like a canned fruit, and God said, store it away from the home. And then the next week, the Amish were, you know, the FBI knocked down their door and basically took their food and then charged them for it. Also, think about this, that when there's no money in the banks, people are going to be very, very upset. Oh, and I just, that's really prophetic. Right as I said that, a vehicle just passed by, and it was a Brinks, one of those cash box Brinks is like, wow. Okay. So they're going to be like really upset, but they're going to be even more upset when there's no gasoline. And if there's no gasoline, we will not have food. And the elite, not the true Americans, not the true American people, but there is a group of people that are purposefully sabotaging our food security. So be aware of that. I mean, it's in the news. So that's plain and simple. Ask God if your location is a safe location. You also need to make sure that you have an exit route. Ask God what your exit route is and have a family plan. Like, for example, if you have family members across city lines, you can't all be going to each other's houses. You're going to miss, you know, you're going to kind of, you can't waste gas and you'll miss each other. So you need to have a plan, a meetup location, and preferably instead of a highway, kind of like a, like an un, like a, for example, like a side street that goes kind of far, because people will not be taking that. They'll all be taking, to get out of the city, they'll all be taking the highways. And then have a safe location outside of your city should anything happen. And then petition God for your family and keep on praying and interceding for them and their salvation and their protection. I knew God told me that there was going to be destruction on two cities. I won't say which ones. God hasn't told me to tell. But he, and I just continued interceding and praying and praying and praying. And I just didn't give up. And then I said, God, please have mercy. Please have mercy on my sister who is an unbeliever. Because I had seen famine plus no water. And I understand if you live near the Appalachian Mountains and you've got like some hunting skills and you have a river or a stream nearby, but that's not everybody. Some of us live in a desert. And nothing grows in a desert, not unless you buy the fertilizer and the soil, and you spend a long time, like, tilling the land ahead of time and nurturing and nourishing the soil before you plant your seeds. And, you know, in the desert, we're pretty much just at the mercy of the sun, and some places should be called uninhabitable. Uninhabitable. I think I just fumbled that, but anyways. God looks for someone to stand in the gap on behalf of his people. So that's in the book of Chronicles. I can't remember exactly what the scripture is at, but also Psalm 33, chapter 33, verse 18 to 20. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. And remember, cast your bread upon the waters and it will be returned unto you. And ask God for wisdom, because there's so many different strategies that we need to have. I'm going to make another video just about the strategies, but this is the instruction. Save 80% of your harvest. Store it in a geocache location away from your home. And buy silver and gold and buy cash. Get your cash out. And obviously, like, have a plan, have a family plan. And yeah, so those are the things that you need to know right now. It's very important. All right, God bless you guys. Bye.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube and Rumble channels. Today is November the 14th of 2022, and I'd like to share with you another word from the Lord today. I hope you are all doing well, that you are encouraged in the Lord, and that you are excited about what the Lord has in store for you in these days. For those of you who are new to my channel, please take a minute to subscribe and to click the notification bell for notification of further videos. Once again, I thank those of you who are leaving comments on my videos and assuring me that these words are blessing your lives. I thank you all for your prayers and support by continuing to follow these videos. The word I'd like to share with you today is an exciting one for those who have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has been speaking about his coming, that he is coming sooner than we think, and as his word says, at a time when we aren't expecting it. And though this word is encouraging for those who are ready, for those who may be listening who have not given themselves completely to the Lord, those who do not spend time with the Lord in prayer, and they do not have an intimate relationship with the Lord, this word comes as a warning, but also as an encouragement that the Lord is giving a short window of time yet for those who haven't fully connected with him to make a change and to put the effort in that is needed to come into right relationship with him. We know the Lord has been doing a work in the hearts of his people and in people everywhere. He has given out his invitation to come and to receive what he has to offer. And the ears of many have been hearing this call. This word today, once again, expresses the Lord's heart to sup with us, to change us, to transform us, and to prepare us for his return. I hope this word today will bless all who hear it. It is titled, The Ingathering. I'll begin by reading scripture. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This scripture verse speaks of a great ingathering of those who belong to the Lord. In the Bible, this ingathering is referred to as the harvest. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This passage of Scripture refers to the way that we come into right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us the gate to this way is very narrow, and not many find it, because there is an easier way with a wider gate. However, that way leads to destruction. I'll begin reading this word. The nations are being gathered from every corner of the earth, says the Lord. They are streaming into Zion, to the holy place, to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The winds of the Spirit are gathering them in, and they are being carried on the breeze. I have released the heavenly hosts into the earth to gather in the harvest. The nets are being filled and hauled in, for the ingathering of the peoples has begun. From the north, south, east, and west, all the elect of the earth are being gathered in, and soon the king will come to receive his own unto himself. The wedding feast has been prepared, and those who come to partake and eat and drink of the table prepared for them are being transformed into the likeness of the Son, and are being made ready to receive their King. They are being joined with the Bridegroom, and being made one with Him. Many are they who cannot enter in, for they are without the oil of the Holy Spirit, and though they confess to know the Father with their mouths, their hearts are far from Me, says the Lord, and their lamps are empty. The invitation has gone out throughout the whole earth, and only those who hear My voice are coming, for those who hear the shepherd's voice are His sheep. Those who enter are entering through the narrow way. Many have tried to enter by the wide road, and they are unable, for this road leads to destruction, and many have been deceived by this way. This is a warning to those who find they are on the wide road and have wandered far away. Repent, turn around, and run back to find the narrow way, for the time is short, and soon the doors to the wedding feast will be closed. Make every effort to enter in through the narrow way, for this is the only way that leads to life. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and seek His face, for the judgment will come swiftly upon those who are left outside. It will be as in the days of Noah, when the people filled with unbelief were caught unaware. The doors to the ark were closed, and the floods came and washed them all away. Follow the less traveled path, says the Lord, and you will gain the prize that waits at the end for those who faithfully endure. The rains of righteousness are falling, and a righteous standard is being raised up throughout the land. The waters of holiness are rising and washing away impurities in the lives of those who receive them. Continue to bathe in the waters, continue to soak in them, and let them do their work, for a great separation is coming, and soon the righteousness of God shall rise up and shine forth from within those who receive the cleansing work of the waters. Your King will come, and with him are rewards for those who obey his voice, for those who have longed for his coming, for those who long for the salvation of God to come to the nations. I am the light of the world, and I have come to shine the light into the darkness. I have chosen you to carry my light into places of darkness. As you enter these places, the darkness will be pushed back by the light that shines forth from you. You may not see this light in yourself, but those who walk in darkness will see the light. The light will increase as you take on the image of Christ, as you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as you draw near to the Lord and let go of the things of this life to follow him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything you need will be provided, says the Lord. I want to change you, to take you out of darkness and bring you into the light and life of the Son. In this place you will walk without stumbling, for the concerns of the present life will not have a hold on you. You will walk and not faint, for you will be carried on the wing as the eagle. Let me take you up where you will see all things as I see them, says the Lord. The eyes of your understanding will be opened, and you will perceive the things of the Spirit. Come away with me. Let me take you higher. Do not look to man. Do not lean on the wisdom of man. But look to your heavenly Father, for he desires that you enter into the fullness of the Son, that you take on his character and his likeness, that you be transformed into his image. All creation yearns for the revelation of the sons of God, for the righteousness of the Son of God to shine forth through those who are chosen of him. And this is the time, my beloved, says the Lord. Seek me, draw near to me, sit at my feet and learn of me, and allow me to turn your mourning into dancing by the transforming power of my Spirit. Bring your cares to me, your burdens, those things that bring you down, and I will lift you up. I see your affliction, and I long to pull you up out of the miry clay and put your feet upon the rock. I have a plan for you. I have a work for you, but you must anchor into me, your rock, so that nothing will be able to hold you back from accomplishing that which I have prepared for you to do, says the Lord. This word today is an expression of God's heart for the people he created. His desire is that none would perish. He has made a way for each one to enter into the fullness of his Spirit, to be made ready for the coming of the Lord. But in order to qualify, we need to go through that narrow way, which is through the cross of Christ, repenting of our sins, turning from our wicked ways, allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to heal us and to bring us into right relationship with the Lord. This word today speaks of the gathering in of the elect of Christ from all the corners of the earth. The Lord has called us into his wedding feast, to the banqueting table set before us, where we sup with the Lord and receive the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, because a separation is coming soon between the righteous and the unholy. And though there is a window of time to make things right with the Lord, that time is very short. and God's judgment will come swiftly, catching many off guard who have wandered in a wrong direction. This word today is an invitation to all of us to come and receive the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. May we have ears to hear the voice of the Bridegroom calling us, and may we obey His voice. May we seek the kingdom of God over all things. May we take time with the Lord, sitting in His presence, reading His word, getting to know Him intimately, trusting Him alone to lift us up and establish us firmly upon the rock of Christ. I hope this word today will encourage you to draw nearer to the Lord, to make Him a priority in your life, the center of all that you do. May we all be sensitive to God's call to come away with Him, to be transformed by the power of His Spirit. May you be blessed and encouraged in this day. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you in the next video. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again. Bye for now.